Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Two pitch, struck him out from last four in to last team standing. Ole Miss has won the College World Series.
10 seconds now. Forecheck here from Kale McCarr. It's all the way at the other end of the ice. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. It's over. They did it. They did it. The job is done. The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions! And they will lift Lord Stanley a mile high!
And Tampa Bay is still barking at their referee. It's over, pal.
They're pouring off the bench. Colorado has defeated Tampa in 6 games claim their third cup. Ladies and gentlemen, the cup is coming back to Colorado. Unlike their namesake, they have ascended to the peak of professional hockey, and like their namesake, they have taken out every single thing in their path.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on this Monday, June 27th, 2022. I am Nate Buchady. This is vacation week for Stephen St. John, which means a few things. For one thing, it means it'll be about 10 degrees cooler in the studio.
Warmer
in the studio this week. 10 degrees.
Five degrees.
It feels like it's more than 5 degrees, but it'll be about 5 degrees warmer in the studio this week, and we'll see how that that goes. That's the voice of Todd Lebo, who will be joining us throughout the course of the week while Stephen's on vacation. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm up, baby. Here we are. We're up here. I always love coming in here and filling in with you guys, but I like it more in the wintertime when the sun has been down for several hours before you go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And it's still down when you get up. It's like
what about
trying to go to sleep?
Yeah.
And when it's still the sun. All the last, I was up till, I watched the end of the hockey game.
Yeah.
So I was up a little bit.
What time did that get over with?
It was
10:45?
No, it wasn't 10:45. It was before 10:45. It was about 10. It was a traditional length hockey game. They got it over about 10-ish. Yeah.
Did you watch it, Marco?
I watched the third period. Tuned in. Yeah.
It was good finish at the end. I mean, the Lightning had the goalkeeper out and trying to score, and they just couldn't. Colorado was too good. I love the home call though. Guys, yeah. The voice was breaking. They've been calling some games and getting excited. That was cool. And we'll see Shane Summers walking around the halls later. His voice will be cracking too, because he's so excited that the Avalanche has taken everything out in their sight. It was I do love coming in with you guys, but it is easier when the sun goes down sooner. But the days are getting shorter every day now, right? They have been for a week.
Yeah, the solstice was last week.
It was last week, It's so dark so early last night. There were some clouds, made it a little easier. But on a really bright sunny day, you know what it's like. You have to do this all the time, trying to think about going to bed when the
my sleep pattern is so screwed up because we were up later than we should have been last night. We had a Big Steps board meeting last night.
Oh boy, Sunday night board meetings.
Yeah, it's like, when else are we going to get together to do this stuff?
You know,
like everybody on the board of directors for Big Steps is married, has kids and jobs, and it's, you know, when are you going to do it? So Sunday's usually work, but we had a lot to discuss last night, so we were up a little bit later than we wanted. And then as soon as that happens, I get this anxiety
that,
oh gosh, I'm not going to get enough sleep tonight. I better hurry up and sleep fast. And then that
doesn't,
work.
That's not the way it works.
You sit there and toss
and
turn.
You know what I should do? I should sleep. It doesn't work.
No, can't try hard to sleep.
Do your best to sleep.
So when hearing that call made me think about as a play-by-play guy for a team, I've had the chance off the top of my head to broadcast two trophy-winning moments, you know, two championships. They were both U.S. Open Cups, 2015 to 2017 for Sporting. When I did, like, the KU women's play-by-play, they won some tournament games but never won a championship of any kind. And I don't, like, we talk about play-by-play, I don't like to script, you know, I don't like to have something that I say every single time somebody scores a goal, because I just think that every one of those moments deserves its own call.
Sure.
It's a unique moment in time. But you know when you're calling a championship game, right? Like, you know in advance. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when someone scores a goal. That all happens organically, and you don't know when the moment's going to come, so you can't really be prepared for exactly what the context is going to be on all that. But when the championship is on your doorstep, you know, I'm going to go call a game tonight that might be one of those things that gets replayed throughout the history of the club.
Right.
And whatever I say will become what people hear every single time they play the highlights of that. So you do want to script that a little bit, I feel like.
Have an idea in your head.
You want to have an idea. You don't want to just go,
there it is.
Sweet. You know, yippee. Like, you want to have something. But I always do find it interesting. I love listening to other play-by-play guys and, okay, what did they do with it? You know, and what was it Mitch said? Like, you know, the Chiefs have planted their flag atop football's highest summit. I think it was something like that. Yeah. But then there was the Kevin Harlan call, which was 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime. You know, like, it was a little bit simpler, but it delivered just as impactful of a message, you know. But hearing that, like, sometimes it's interesting to hear how complicated you can get with it, right?
Yeah, maybe the Avalanche are used to that talk, but I was thinking about, okay, I get it. The Avalanche, it goes down the hill. Yeah. They went up the hill, and then the Avalanche takes everything out. I got you.
It was a little complicated.
For the people in the mountains, it's exactly what they think of every day.
Yeah.
It's for them.
Yeah.
That's a good moment for them, though.
Yeah.
That was an amazing series because they were down, lost at home, and then they were down last night, 1-0, and came back and they won 2-1. That series has been wild. They, you know, they had a 7-0 win and all this stuff.
They cheated that one time where the guy came off the bench 7 seconds early.
Another one last night. That was wild, Marco, when the guy, you know, they'll do anything to block a shot. I mean, these guys, hockey athletes are insane.
Yeah.
They skate. They run to the walls. They jump in front of the puck on purpose. You know it. You know, I know they have padding and stuff on. This guy who was just he was a defenseman or whatever. He's out there and he like put his foot out to stop a puck and it hit and the blade of his skate fell off. It like the little metal blade fell off and then he needed to get off the field or the ice because they were doing a shift change and. It didn't work. He didn't have a blade on it, so it was plastic, and it wasn't like going. So there was a guy dragging him while he was trying to stumble up without the blade, and there were definitely more guys on the ice for a second, and so Tampa was mad about that, but they didn't score or anything. It was just trying to shift change it. If you go letter of the law, and if they took that to the replays, like in baseball, where, the guy's foot slid off the bag for an eighth of a second after a thing, then they would always all be off because it's impossible to exactly jump on and off the ice at the exact same time. You know what I mean?
You can always wait until the guy gets off the ice.
Well, then there's two of you guys on the ice. I guess that's okay.
That's not illegal.
Anyway.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
It's a funny deal.
Yeah.
The way the thing works out. But that is fun to hear those calls and to see championships crowned and all that. It's pretty cool. And that was been 20 years. So they were super happy to get it done. And I guess the city of hockey, Tampa, doesn't get to put a third one up. Who knew? That's the city of hockey.
Yeah.
It is. I've been to a hockey game in Tampa.
Have you really?
Yeah, I was at the Super Bowl in Tampa years, whatever, Giants, Ravens. That's how long ago this was. And Brian McCray.
About 2000, right?
Yeah, he was down there with us. And Brian McCray can get tickets to anything, anywhere. And all this, he's like, hey, tonight we're going to go watch the Lightning game. And I said, what's that? Well, that's the hockey. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, sure. We went to the hockey game. We were up in a suite watching them play hockey.
I went through a big hockey phase in the 90s because of the
video game.
Yeah, Sega NHL 93, 94, 95. And that was right at the time they had expanded, I think, with like Tampa.
Yeah, some new teams.
Maybe the Florida Panthers.
Well, Colorado was new then. I think Colorado was new. They were from Quebec. Yeah, they had gotten down there, though.
I remember them being the Quebec Nordiques. I had a hockey puck
with
the Nordiques logo on it. I think I still probably have it in my house somewhere.
The new ones were Florida teams.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the Carolina was new, maybe.
At that time, Carolina hadn't come in yet. I remember Tampa being like one of the brand new teams, and they were cool. Like the uniforms were cool and everything. That was the same time that the Minnesota North Stars moved down to Dallas.
Yes.
The southern part of the United States was all of a sudden starting to get hockey, which seems so bizarre to me. I'm like, how can you make it in a sport that nobody plays in those areas? But it's worked, and it's worked in Tampa, and I'm sure people play hockey down there now.
Yeah, they do,
yeah. You just got to spend all the money in the world to rent your ice time and all that.
Someone has to build an ice rink.
Yeah.
They didn't have those.
Well, and then you got to pay all kinds of money to go get your time on it. But, youth sports like cost money anyway.
They do.
Well, that was cool. Stanley Cup was crowned. College World Series, we heard the highlights there. We're going to hear from Todd Lebo about that in a moment. And the Royals lost the series to the lowly Oakland A's at home.
But they're 3-3 against the A's. That's good. They're 500 team against the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Is that good?
No.
At least they won on Friday when they had the charity component with Big Slick. There you go.
Yeah.
I heard $3.2 million they raised.
How about that?
On Saturday at the event they had at T-Mobile. Great. Great charity event to raise all that money for Children's Mercy.
Yeah.
Incredible. And they won the game that all the guys and girls were at. There you go. And then after that, it wasn't quite as good.
No. No. They got eight. They got Brady Singer into the ninth inning yesterday, but he gave up five runs. Some of it a little bit unlucky, but they lose the series. Now they got the Rangers coming to town. Here's what we've got coming up on the show for you today. We will have a weather forecast with Gary Lezak, of course. Annie Rogers, who covers the Kansas City Royals, will join us at 8 o'clock to talk Royals. Kevin Kugler, one of the top play-by-play guys in American radio. Is that the best way to describe me? He is Mr. Westwood One these days.
Mm-hmm.
He does NFL on Westwood One. He does everything.
Final Four.
And he is from Omaha, right?
Yeah. So he was one of the broadcasters that we carried the games this weekend. He and Scott Graham do the games. So he was on there, so we'll have him on as well.
But that's kind of cool for him because he does national stuff all the time now, but he's from Omaha, and he gets to do the College World Series in his hometown.
He's like a little Kevin Harlan, who's a young Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
He just likes where he's from and then does all these things. He didn't move off to New York or anything.
And I wonder how hard it is to fly from Omaha to all these places that
probably
he goes to.
Probably not great.
I wouldn't think because like flying from Kansas City to these places.
It's not that great.
On the rare occasion that I get to do a national game or something like that, it's not usually real easy to find direct flights to Los Angeles.
I think he's driven to Kansas City many times because even better to get on a flight, but it's still not great.
You just have to drive 2.5 hours and then fly somewhere and change planes.
It's only 20 minutes to the airport.
He's got a great job. So I'm sure he loves it. But it's interesting. I just wonder what the travel's like for him and that. So he's going to join us at 8:30. We're going to have a good friend of ours in studio at 9 o'clock to talk about a lot of different things. Danny Welniak, who has been at KCTV 5 on the sports department there, one-time sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs as well, and she is walking away from that job to take another job in sports that I think we're going to find out exactly what that job is today. So she's going to join us to talk about her time in Kansas City sports media and where she's going next and what she's doing next. And I think that could be a lot of fun as well. So that's all straight ahead. We're going to talk about Todd Lebo's adventures to the College World Series, which, hey, I give him credit. He's wearing his Oklahoma T-shirt in here. College World Series.
The shirt.
You know, it doesn't say runners up on there.
No, and it didn't have anyone else's logo on it. It was just they win. Yeah. It's an accomplishment to make the College World Series.
Hey, my school went one time.
Yeah.
Back in 1993, I think it was.
93.
Never have sniffed it since.
Yeah.
That is a cool deal. And Todd was there this weekend in Omaha. I've never been to the College World Series. That is definitely a sporting event bucket lister for me, and I want to hear all about it from Todd. We'll talk about that coming up next right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. A lot of speedballs.
Go down the wrong street, you might see some speedballs. No, Bruce, no speedballs. It's a fun event. I had never been either, just like you.
Tell me about it. College World Series is
it's been in Omaha forever. Forever. And they signed a 25-year deal with the NCAA. They've got this thing through 2035, which 25 years ago seemed like a long time. Now, oh, that's just a little bit longer than the leases at the stadium that they're already talking about getting rid of here. But they have built a downtown. You've been up there to the arena, right, to cover KU?
Yeah.
Did you go up there?
Yeah. I was up there a couple times. Once was in 2008, the year KU won national title, and K-State was really good, too.
They were there as
well.
And
they both were there at the same time.
And did you
even though they were in different regions.
The baseball stadium was not there yet, though.
I've been up there. I went to a Chance the Rapper concert there, and the baseball stadium. We parked right in front of the baseball stadium.
So it's right next to that now.
Yeah.
So it's much closer.
And it looks really nice. That stadium looks great.
It's 25,000-seat stadium.
I was going to say, it does not look like your typical minor league baseball stadium. It's big.
And it's not a minor league stadium because the Storm Chasers play in a, like a different one. This is the Creighton Blue Jays stadium. So they have the biggest Division I baseball stadium. And this is Nicky Lopez's stomping grounds, right? This is where it is. So they built it downtown, and it's very cool. And they got a 25-year deal. So all these things have popped up around there. Nice apartments, restaurants, all this stuff is down there. And the people come from all over because you had 8 teams go there. Now, there's different fan followings for all of them, right? As far away as Stanford. And listen, I've been to a Stanford game where they beat a top-5 team, and they didn't particularly care that they beat a top-5 team at Stanford on their home stadium. So this is not the biggest pack of traveling fans in the world. You had Oklahoma and Texas were in there as well, and then you had a whole host of SEC schools. And if you follow along with this event, there's a little bar right across the street from this place called Rocco's, and they do a Jell-O shot challenge. And then they have a scoreboard up there of which school the fans buy the most Jell-O shots.
Oh boy.
Arkansas was crushing this all week because there were more of them there apparently than anyone. But then they lost. So
they lost the Jell-O shot challenge?
No, they lost the game. So then Ole Miss was still there, so they definitely won the Jell-O shot challenge. Mm-hmm. We went in this place. My wife and I drove up there Saturday. I was like, there was like, I don't know, 3 regular people in there and 3 Sooner fans and 18,000 Ole Miss fans. I mean, they had taken the city over. We're driving up Saturday. We left our house at like 11:15. Game was at 6 o'clock. This was Saturday. This wasn't like Friday night or Thursday when they knew they were in it. We saw, I think we counted 35 Mississippi license plates. That doesn't even include the fact that like probably Mississippi fans who lived in, you know, Georgia or Tennessee or Louisiana, whatever. I'm like, wow.
This is just on the drive up.
You saw on the drive up. So these people are driving. And I don't know, get a map out, kids. Mississippi's not like 2 feet away. This is a long drive. Now, they maybe had stopped in Kansas City and spent the night, and were driving, you know, who knows, might have broken up in 2 spots. But I'm like, I told my wife, I said, there's going to be a lot of Mississippi fans up here. This is going to be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get up there, and it is incredible because they love their sports. It does just mean more in many instances in the SEC. It's a tagline, and it's a joke for a lot of us around here. We make jokes about it, but it really does. and especially to a school like Mississippi, who, while it's the like it's the fancy school in the state, you know, if it's, if you have state school, regular school, whatever, like Mississippi to Mississippi State, they probably look down their nose at Mississippi State people, whatever. But they are not Alabama in football, right? They're not LSU in baseball. They're not LSU in football. They're not anybody in basketball.
Right.
This will blow your mind. How many times has Mississippi been to the Sweet 16 in basketball?
Well, what about the who was the Marshall?
Marshall Henderson.
Marshall Henderson. Did they make the Sweet 16?
No, they didn't. They beat K-State. And then
have they ever?
One time.
One time.
So, you know, one Sweet 16 in basketball is 21 years ago. That's they've made one Sweet 16.
That's more than Nebraska's made.
Yes. Nebraska has not ever won a tournament game.
They've never won a tournament game.
No,
yeah.
They haven't. But they've also won, like,
they've won national titles,
championships.
Yeah, yeah, they've won in a lot of sports,
yeah, they've,
actually.
They've won. Yeah. But so Mississippi, I heard Kevin Kugler say this on the radio. They had won one team sport national championship, women's golf. And that's it. It's all they'd ever won besides some unrecognized football titles in the 50s and 60s that are not even just like mythical, like AP titles. They're the ones that are the whatever voted you in. And if you look at the record books, quote-unquote books, oh, Southern Cal won that one, or Minnesota won that one, and Mississippi claims one. So whatever, claimed titles. So they were excited to be there to have a chance to win, and that's what you love to see from a fan base. So they were up there ready to go, and their team was supposed to be a top-five team, like, all year. And they just totally underperformed, and they were literally in the last four in. Like, they were on selection. I think it's a Sunday night. They didn't know if they're going to make it, and they made it, and then they got hot, and they didn't even allow a run in the Super Regional or whatever, and then they ended up winning. It was great. It's so excited for them. Oklahoma's part, they were great the entire postseason. Same thing. They weren't the best team in the Big 12. They didn't get to host a regional. They didn't get to host a Super Regional, but they got hot, and they pitched it great. They hit it. They ran. They were like the Royals in the 70s and 80s, stealing bases, taking extra bases, doing all those things. And they had really good starting pitching and a shutdown, like, eight-out closer guy. Like, he would come in the old Dan Quisenberry style.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the seventh inning? Yeah, sure, put him in. You know, they had that going for him. But they just – it all fell apart against Mississippi. And I think the crowd probably helped a lot there because it was whatever. Are you ready? Damn right, say, howdy, 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 about it. You know, they had the chance.
Flam, flam.
Yeah. You hate Boomer bam, Sooner, bam, right, yeah. As a Big 12 fan? You hate this more, probably, if you're there. But so Oklahoma just, they didn't catch it. They must have had six wild pitches and pass balls in the two championship series games. They had errors in the field, misplays where balls, were popped up in the air and they just lost it. So all those little bitty things you've got to do right, they didn't do right. Mississippi did them right. And the game was actually a pretty close game on Friday. Up until the eighth inning, it was 4-2, and then Oklahoma took their starting pitcher out, put a relief pitcher in, and just gasoline on the fire, three home runs, and the place was just like nuts. Mark Boerichter was texting us. Beer was flying where he was sitting out there.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then yesterday, Oklahoma had taken the lead. It's 8-1, or 2-1 in the eighth inning, and they brought the kid who pitched, who's going to get picked. He was a freshman pitcher. He was great. He struck out 12 guys in like 7 1/3, and he gave up a hit. So then they brought the reliever in, and he gave up a couple of hits, and then a pass ball, of course, blah, blah, all this stuff, and it kind of fell apart on him, and it was over. But it was a great event, and I strongly encourage the city of Kansas City in 2035, if they have a downtown baseball stadium by then, to get this event because it would be great for the city.
You want them to steal it from Omaha?
Yes. Sure, why not?
Well, shouldn't Omaha get to keep that? I mean, it's been there forever.
Shouldn't they? Like the NCAA headquarters used to be here forever, and then Indianapolis took it. Or the Big 12 headquarters was here, and then that got stolen. Or the Big 12 basketball tournament was here, and then it went to Dallas for a couple of years. No, I don't think anything's just given. I'm telling you what. If you have all these, you've seen the amount of people who came for this. Like, this was like the Big 12 tournament. We love the Big 12 tournament, right? This was like the Big 12 tournament. But even more.
Oh, sure. It's a national championship. Everybody, if your team makes it.
And it's a bigger stadium.
It,
so by rule, there can be more people go to the game.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, there wouldn't be 40,000 people at a game. So I don't think it would be sold out like that. But it would be, it's closer to the places who are good at the sport. which is the SEC. What's going to happen is somewhere down there is going to try to get this thing.
Yeah, Birmingham's going to get it or something.
Some that you got or Memphis has a nice. Is that a AAA or AA? They used to be.
Yes, AAA. You know, right?
There used to be a Royals affiliate down there.
Memphis
back
Chicks,
in the day.
Right?
It's not anymore, but I think
that
it
was
might be,
AA. I think.
Yeah, it was AA, and I think it might be. But some place like that. It's a great event, and the people really love it. Omaha does a great job with
Nashville.
It.
Nashville.
I'm joking, saying we should steal it, but we should steal it.
You're not really joking.
No, it was really cool. Now, maybe it's not always like that. We'll have to ask Kevin Kugler when he comes on, because he's there all the time, and he's
every
from
time
Omaha.
I
don't know if it's always that way. Like, if you get... You don't have someone who's never won a title.
Oregon State comes to town.
Do they have that many people?
Do they travel as much?
And Oregon State's won it, right? They've had, you know, you get an But there have been 13 out of 14 years, I think, with an SEC team in the final. There's always four or five of them there. Like, but I'll tell you this. You mentioned this, like, you know, we see how Kansas State goes crazy. Like, when they got good at football, 50,000 go to a bowl game. If K-State's baseball was good and they went to this event, you wouldn't believe how many Wildcats would go up there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing. Like, if you fall in love with something you're good at and maybe you haven't been good for a while, it'd be insane. Or like Iowa's right down the road. If Iowa baseball could make it to the College World Series, can you imagine the amount of Bush Light that would be pouring through? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like when Nebraska went there. You know, Nebraska went to the World Series like three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like before Alex Gordon, when Alex Gordon was there. You know, they're already there. It's probably not as great for the hotel rooms, but still, just the fun of it and the atmosphere.
The economy of Omaha has got to just, that's just a massive shot in the arm, you know, to have that many people come to town.
Yeah, the people go there for the zoo, right? And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great zoo, but now you go to the World Series, and they do a great job of hosting NCAA basketball events. And I think they've done some. Maybe some volleyball up there is big. You know, so that's a nice arena that they built.
Yeah, it is.
And it's right downtown. So it's really cool. It was a fun event. It's too bad Oklahoma lost. They weren't the best team in the Big 12, but they made the championship series. That's an adventure in itself, because trying to get to that through one of these little brackets is not easy. It's a tough event because it's a double elimination thing, and you don't want to come out of the loser's bracket. You got to get through there and get it done. And it was fun. I highly recommend anyone from Kansas City who likes events and baseball, whatever, just go up there. It's not that far. You know, we were up, it's less than 3 hours, depending on where you live. You live up like where Steven lives, it's 20 minutes. That's all it is. That's a joke. It's not 20 minutes. I know
it's a little bit longer than that, but it is close by. And someday I want to get up there. That's really cool that you got to go. That's Todd Lebo. He got to watch his Oklahoma Sooners
lose,
fall to Ole Miss in the College World Series. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Lost 5-3 to the Oakland A's. Over the weekend, they lose the series to the A's. The Royals are now 26-45. They still have a better record overall than the A's. But that's about it when it comes to the American League. There's a couple teams in the National League that are giving them a run for their money record-wise. The Reds have fallen back down behind the Royals. The Washington Nationals are slightly percentage points worse than the Royals in the standings. So the Royals, you know, there's three teams that have worse records than the Royals in baseball right now.
Woo! Right?
Yeah, how much are we paying attention?
Well, myself personally this week.
Yeah.
This last
you were locked in on the College World Series.
This last week,
yeah,
with them out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
These games at night.
Yeah.
Less, obviously, when they're there. And then this weekend, I did watch quite a bit Friday night. But then Saturday and yesterday, I was not locked in on it as much. For, you know, like the College World Series was part of that because I was on the road, busy, driving, games, all those kind of things. But, you know, I think they look at the crowds, right? They had a nice crowd, what we're calling a nice crowd, 25,000 out there Friday.
That was because of Big Slick.
Big Slick and
the fireworks.
Fireworks and all that stuff. There was, I think Saturday was 13,000.
On a Saturday in the summertime when there's no school?
It's an afternoon game, but still, 13,000. And they had over 20 yesterday, which is 25. So this was like probably the best weekend that they've had this year. So then, and that's pretty bad saying there was 63,000 people going to the games. So I think there's a lot of that is checked out. Now we'll see these midweek games like today. They got the Rangers in here. It's still so much better than what Oakland has had. You know, Oakland's had several games this year under 3,000 people announced attendance. They have
really
checked out on that team. If they're playing on like a Tuesday night or a Thursday afternoon getaway, 100% it's under 5,000 people. It's insane how much they've turned that thing off.
I thought usually when you have that, they still announce like 11,000, you know?
I think you can only announce what you've sold. And yeah, if that's all they've sold, that's all they've sold. The Royals, I think, this year had to have five crowds under 10,000 announced, which is super rare for them to announce a crowd under 10,000 people. So I do think...
Because you sell enough season tickets that even if they're not that many people, because yeah, they might not...
Which leads me to believe that the Royals season ticket base comes out to about 8,900. That's what it sounds like to me, if they've had some crowds like that. I don't know. Did you hear a big buzz last week when the Bally's Plus was available, where you could pay the $19 a month to watch this for the people who were complaining that they couldn't watch the games for the past year and a half?
No,
a lot of buzz, but not good buzz.
I heard one.
You know anyone who's subscribed?
No, and I can't say that I've gone around asking people, but I was talking with my superior at Sporting Kansas City, Aaron Bournes, the marketing guy there, and he and I, we were talking about, because obviously this new rights deal is coming out for Major League Soccer with Apple TV, and you're going to have to buy a subscription.
You got some numbers on that yet for me? Any details? I want to know what that's going to cost.
Well, in terms of what the Apple TV is going to cost, what the subscription MLS Soccer is going to cost.
Subscription for MLS.
Yeah, I don't know that. There's so much they don't know yet.
It'll be next year.
And the thing about that is, like, probably be some really cheap introductory, you know, price, and then they'll jack it up on you after you've got it for a while or whatever. But it's... That one's interesting. Now, like, if you have season tickets, you get the package for free.
It's pretty cool.
But the question a lot of people have is, okay, what about the casual fan? Are we going to lose the casual Sporting Kansas, the person that's willing to watch Sporting Kansas City if it's on the TV that might stumble across
it? Or they have it on their app now, which is the amazing work that Sporting did to wrest themselves away from the Bally's contract.
Yeah, and make it for free for anybody to watch that wants to.
Right.
And that was a big deal, and now Sporting's like, okay, well, now all of a sudden everybody, it's going to be behind a paywall.
Yeah, there's all that work.
Now people, their side of it is, you know, that Major League Soccer's side of it is, yes, it's going to be behind a paywall, but then zero blackouts worldwide.
Got everything.
You can, anywhere in the world, you can watch every single MLS game wherever you want, whenever you want. And there's
way better than baseball.
Whereas like baseball still has to compete with all these local markets because, well, there's blackout here, you know, all that stuff.
That's the frustration if you pay $100 and some bucks for MLB extra innings and you can't watch your Royals.
Yeah.
You can watch everything but the Royals.
What does MLB extra innings cost? I want to say it's like $200 for the year, something like that.
It's amazing. Like, they have a sponsorship with T-Mobile. So if you're a T-Mobile customer and you just sign up for it on that T-Mobile Tuesday before the year, totally free.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of deals on it.
Yeah.
There's ways to get around that thing. Except, honestly, if you're someone for instance, I am a YouTube TV subscriber.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't cut the cord, but I've cut the cable cord.
Yeah.
So it's a different
You're streaming
way.
Your cable, basically.
I'm streaming my cable. This year, the one baseball game that if I was sitting at home, I could watch without using someone else's password, whatever. Even though I've got an MLB extra innings thing with through my wife, she's a T-Mobile customer, all that stuff. The one game I could watch that was Royals game was the one that was on actual just YouTube in the afternoon when they were playing. Was it Houston? Someone they were playing?
Yeah, they were playing Houston.
They're playing Houston in the afternoon. The game was just like on YouTube, like your kids were watching a video of someone unboxing a package. One of these kid stars. That's the only game that I could just watch unfettered without having to use a password or whatever.
Yeah, so
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, so Aaron told me, he's like, yeah,
I've been able to watch every sporting game.
Right.
Because I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, which means I've had the national games. And I have an antenna on my TV, 38.1.
Over the air.
The spot, like you're watching this right now in the morning, watch it right there.
Yeah. Literally over the air.
Literally over the air.
So we were talking about all this stuff, and Aaron said, that Bally Sports app launches. Now, I get Bally Sports. I'm a direct TV stream, I think is what they call it now.
Right.
It used to be AT&T.
So you have Bally Sports.
So I have Bally Sports, so there's no way I'm buying the app. I have zero interest in doing that whatsoever right now. But it's $20 a month, isn't it? Mm-hmm. $20 a month?
When the number came out, they said it was going to be commiserate with other pricing of things like this in the sports world. And so I started thinking initially, maybe it was going to be like $9 or something, because ESPN Plus is $5.99.
Yeah.
And ESPN Plus for $5.99 gives you...
You get everything. You get a million games.
A whole bunch of stuff. It's got all these NHL games. Basically, that was the deal they had with them. So if you're a hockey fan, you get all those things. And it gets weird stuff from around the world. I watch cricket sometimes. I mean, there's
as a soccer fan, I get Serie A, Bundesliga.
You get the playoff final to get
The championship playoff.
Yes, that was on ESPN Plus.
Yep.
For someone who went to Oklahoma on August 1st, now they finally their third tier rights are with ESPN Plus, so they're going to have. I've been watching Big 12 things on there.
Oh yeah, I watch Kansas women's basketball on there all the time.
K-State men's basketball. They have put three or four games a week on ESPN Plus. There's all this stuff that's out there that's on that for $6 more a month. Now, if you only did that and you're not an ESPN subscriber through YouTube TV, DirecTV Stream, whatever, you don't get actual ESPN. That's the hard part. The game that's on, you have to be a subscriber. So there, I'm not saying it's perfect, but $6 for all of that stuff is pretty good. $20 for the Royals. Now, I don't know.
Yeah, because what else does Bally have?
They have five Major League Baseball teams, but I don't know if you get all of them. I don't even know that answer yet, because I tried to look for it last week. I didn't really look real hard. But do you want to – I guess you'd get the Pistons games. Maybe you'd get the Thunder games because that used to have them on – Bally Sports KC. I don't know the answer to that yet. I need to find out more, but they didn't exactly pound their chest about this thing coming out. They put a tweet out, and they didn't really give a bunch of details about it. They only have five Major League Baseball teams hooked into it right now. I don't know if that $19 gives you all five of those or not. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're just buying the Bally Sports Kansas City app, or is it the Bally Sports app for everything?
For everyone, and do you get it all? Or, because were there blackouts? Who knows what the deal is? If there's going to be 20 basketball teams involved in it and a couple of hockey teams, maybe it starts looking like it's okay. But, Netflix is less money than that, and there's a million hours of whatever on Netflix that you can watch, or HBO Max or whatever. This price seems to me to be over ambitious for what you get.
100%. And obviously doesn't help when the team's 19 games under 500.
That's the worst part.
Because the only person to me that's going to spring $20 a month to get that app would be the most diehard of diehard Royals fans that still wants to watch this team lose every night. And there are those people.
Sure.
I mean, I used to do the post-game show when the team would lose 100 games, and we'd have the same people calling in every night, and they're diehard, and they're going to watch and suffer through every game. Those people got to already have Bally's. If you care that much, you're on a cable plan. I got the DirecTV thing specifically for Bally's so that I could get – that was back when Sporting was on it and the Royals, and I could get both things. I feel like the market that would buy the app is already getting it probably. What person is signing up for it? Do you know anybody that signed up for it?
I don't. I know some people who back in April before the season got going – would have, because they were having a struggle trying to get this thing worked out at their house with cable and the right things to get it done. And they were like, well, yeah, $19 a month's a lot of money. But if you, I can give you a case that's, it's a good price, because mm-hmm. it costs $20 to park at the game. So you could either go park once at the game, or you could watch every game at home.
Yeah.
25 games, 28 games in a month. You know, it's a cup of coffee a day, you know, whatever, one of those kind of things. It's not that much when you think about, like, actually going to a game. It's not that much money on that front. But when you think of, when you compare it to other things, it's a lot of money.
And also just like, because I'm already doing this in my head. Okay, well, I'm paying for HBO Max.
Right,
I'm paying for Netflix. I'm paying for Hulu, Disney, ESPN bundle. I'm paying for Apple TV. How many different subscription things do I have to pay for?
Exactly.
You know, and in addition,
this is what we wanted to get away from. We didn't like the cable company controlling it all, and now we don't like the a la carte because there's too much.
Well, because right now I feel like you're stuck in between both.
Yes.
You got to pay for your cable subscription, whether that's YouTube streaming or an actual cable thing, and you got to pay for all this a la carte stuff on top of it, too. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown early haze, and I just want you back by my side. Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rent a cars and westbound trains.
Got a big benches clearing and brawling baseball yesterday. Isn't that fun?
Something. Well, it's probably the most attention anything got besides the fact the Yankees keep winning, right? Aaron Judge hit another walk-off home run or something.
They're 53-20.
Yeah.
They're 23 games
over
500.
When do you think the Royals are going to win their 53rd game?
My God.
Labor Day?
They're on 26 they're on pace wins
to win,
right now.
They're on pace to win 58 games this year. That's the pace. They had fixed the pace for a minute, and then they lost two out of three. So they're on pace to win 58 games this year.
I'm really good at math. That's 58 and 104.
Mm-hmm.
They would be.
Yeah. So at that pace, they would win.
What's their record for losses? 106?
I think that's right. Six or seven, yeah. This would be. They're on pace for. They were on pace to be worse, but now they're not.
Yeah, they're on pace to shatter the record. It's so hard to stay on that pace.
If they go like this, then they'll get their 53rd win in probably the middle of September, right?
God, that's
because they would only win five more games to get to 58. It would be like Labor Day. Like the Chiefs would play their first game and the Royals would just be getting to where the Yankees are. Anyway, so sign up for Bally's Plus.
I mean, that's the thing. It's to me, it's already a bad deal. And then it's a bad deal on top of, like, there's just not going to be any motivation for me. It's like, well, the joy was sucked out of it. You know, the any
get
motivation.
The big push next April.
Yeah, maybe next April. Maybe next April we'll get that Bally Sports thing going. Back after this to wrap things up on our television hour on 38 The Spot.